praise God in all things, for He is a good God, and He's the only God. I had an experience today, or yesterday I should say, and I'm going to share it with you. First of all, whenever you're called into the ministry, it's one thing, but when you're chosen into a ministry, it's really a whole different thing. And those that are chosen, they know that not only were they called, but they're moving ahead with God. And they've got to prepare themselves in a whole different fashion. They just can't go to church on Sunday and have a prayer group on Wednesday and then that's it. They've got to really settle down and seek God with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their heart. And when you learn to do that, and you really do it, then you'll see that the scripture comes alive. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what God's telling you. In my experiences in 33 years, what I've been involved in, it's getting this way. It's growing and growing and growing. It doesn't look like it here, but believe me, it is. And I get worried sometimes. I'm a human being, and I do get worried. God, please, God, show me something. Do something with me that I may know that everything's all right. And I need a lot of money. I need between $7 and $10 million to make this program work. I don't have $7 to $10 million, or I'd be doing a program. So I have to look to Him. I'd be gone. I have to look to Him for the answers. Just like you have to look to Him for the answers. You may need $1,000, I need $7 million. But you have to look the same way that I'm looking. Well, when you, in the process of looking and waiting and looking and waiting, you get a little bit this way. Jeez, did I really hear from the Lord? And what's, oh God, you really start dreaming up excuses and dreaming up stories, and you really shouldn't, but I do it. I'm just a human being like anyone else. Well, I was going through this because I'm involved in some really heavy stuff right now. And there's a lot of people involved with me that I can't be with. They're down there and I'm up here. And I don't have my fingers or thumbs on these different things. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't know, but this is the way it is. Whether I like it or not, it's that way. And I do hear from them. They call me on the phone. They tell me this, get me all worked up. But I still have these, God, how am I going to do this? So what happened, my friend Steve Farrar, who some of you know, he's an American airline pilot, first pilot, and he's been with American Airlines like 14 years, and he's my very, very dear friend. Well, he moved to Dallas. Gee whiz, I'm so used to him going by my house in the morning from Rockford down to O'Hare Airport. He'd stop in an hour and a half before he's supposed to fly, and he'd spend a half hour with me praising God. He'd come in the house, the power of God hit him, he'd fall on the floor. Amen. Am I telling the truth? He'd fall on the floor, and he's laying there kicking. He said, I couldn't wait to get here. And I just sit in the chair and look at him thinking, well, he's getting something. I don't know what he's getting, but he's sure getting it. And sometimes you come in and get so loud early in the morning and say, please, please, my wife is sleeping. Oh, praise God anyway. You know, we go on. The same way, when he lands, he came back from a flight to Boston or New York. He'd come in, he'd come by in a scooter, stay, come right to the house. We'd be in prayer for another hour, hour and a half. The same thing. When I had to go to California, he flew me out there first class. Didn't cost me a penny. Two or three times. It was an amazing situation. Okay, now he moved. And I just lost a friend. No, I didn't. Let me tell you how God works. He works in strange ways. He's in Dallas. And he met a man down there by the name of Tom Simmons, who I have never met. And he told Tom about me, and Tom was impressed. But Steve was with me, been to a lot of services. He was the president of Full Gospel Chapter. He knows I'm a personal friend of the president of the whole organization, and so on and so forth. And he told this man, about Edgar Bailey. So this guy calls me on the phone one day, and we're talking and so on. And I pray with him, and I said things that there's no way I could know them. It was through the Holy Spirit. And then it affected his wife. So she called me back in two or three days, and we went over that subject, you know, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. And then he calls me. This is like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, and I've been in this worried thing, in this little drone that I get into, this little corner, and is there somebody out there, or two of you, what's happening with all this money that I can do something with you, Lord? He said, now, Brother Betty, I got to tell you a story. And he says, it's just a story. It doesn't concern me, but I was there and I watched it happen. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, I was in a church over there in Dallas, and he says, the preacher was up there preaching his heart out, and he finally stopped, and he got all excited up there. He says, I tell you, I need a bunch of money. He says, I reached out with faith believing. I started this construction over here. We broke ground, and I don't have a dollar to pay these people, but I went ahead and did what God told me to do. I don't know what to do. So he says, talk to God or do whatever God tells you to do, but I got to receive an offering. So there's like 200 or 300 people there. So they come up, some of them put checks on top of the pulpit and so on. He looks down at one check down there. It's $5 million. First thing you think of, is this real? Okay. While he's contemplating about this check, the man that wrote it gets up, looks up there, takes the check out of his hand, tears it up, goes and sits down and writes a check for $10 million. He said, God said I didn't give you enough. Well, that's a good story, you know. I said, I hung up the phone. Oh, he went on to say, and God's got this for you too. He's, believe me, it's on the way. I had so many people tell me that. So many people tell me all kinds, which I love to hear. So last night we wind up in Wisconsin with a service in Milwaukee. And the man gave me directions that were crazy. We missed the directions. We missed the road. We did everything wrong, and we got there faster. Am I speaking the truth, Holly? He told me some crazy way here, go over there, turn here, go up to the street, do that. We went on down, turned to one street, went down there, made one turn, and there it was right there. It was the craziest thing. But see, God's in charge of your life. Sometimes you don't realize that He's really got you. You know, that's why sometimes you might teach, look, you must take time and praise God all day long. You must say, well, thank God. Praise you, Jesus. Give glory to God. Because these little things that's going on, God's moving you around. He's touching your life. He's doing it. So you want to continue to praise Him and give Him glory. Well, we got into this. It was a theater. Was it beautiful? Yeah. We went into the entrance. Now, he only had a small crowd there, but it's in the entrance. It's a dome. It looked like it's all engraved. It's had unbelievable mosaics in the ceiling. It's a great big dome like this, you know. And then there's a big wide stairway goes upstairs and around here and all this. And they had all the chairs in there. And it's really gorgeous. And he said, Brother Bailey, I'm so thrilled that you came. But here's what happened. The day before yesterday, he called me on the phone. He says, Brother Bailey, you've been on my heart for 2 weeks. He said, I didn't know what to do with this first service I'm going to have tomorrow night, but the Lord said to call you that you could help me out and come up. I've never taken a service in a one day's notice, never. Not in 33 years. There's always 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, sometimes 4 months ahead of time. Sometimes even a year. And I was going to tell him no, and I was checked in my spirit, Edgar, go. It's like, I want you to go. If there's a reason. Now, what was the reason he wanted me to go? Why in the world? So I told Holly, she says, well, if I can get off with it. You've got to get off early. I want you with me. I said, I don't know what's going on here. So she got off about 10 minutes to 5. We took off. Drove up there, and we got there just in time for the praise and worship. And it was pretty good. And before it happened, he takes me, and he says, I want to show you something. He takes me through the double doors and shows me the theater. Seats about 1,000 people. It is beautiful. Everything in there is beautiful. I mean beautiful. Like it was just built. Beautiful stage up there. He said, let me tell you how I got this. He says, 1 year ago, just before Christmas, he says, I told the Lord, Lord, I know I've got a calling. And I started looking for a place. Now here it comes. I've got a calling. I'm going to go find a place. That's where you made your mistake. You don't go find a place. If you've got a calling, trust in God. Let God show you the place. Well, I've done the very same thing He did. I've just done it recently. I teach you all the right stuff, then I violate my own teachings. I do. I don't mean to, but I do. You know, I just... I've been looking all over for that Rolaid. I couldn't find it. I just now found it. Now I don't need it. See, when you get up here preaching, all the that's inside of you gets calmed down. And so that's what happened. Okay. So he takes me and he says, now let me tell you how I got this. He says, just before Christmas last year, he says, I knew I had a calling on my life. So I went out and I tried to find a place to set up a fellowship. He said, I went and all over Milwaukee. I went north and south. I went east. You can't go too far east. The lake's there. But you went west and so on. He says, I couldn't find any of the places I thought I'm supposed to have. For some reason, I just couldn't get them. He says, and then my mother got sick. So I had to take care of her for about 8 weeks. And she finally died. And he says, then I had to take care of things for another couple of weeks about the estate and so on and so forth. He didn't leave me anything. I didn't get any money. He's basically, I was broke. He's not really broke. He's, I had money to eat and, you know, so on. But, you know, I didn't have a buku of money. And here I'm trying to find a place to set up a fellowship. Well, a fellowship started. And he wound up doing it in his home, which is a good place to start, okay? And he started going, he ate 10, 12, 14, 15 people, and he just faithfully kept it up. But he kept looking for a place, and finally the Lord said, says, Tom, when are you going to stop running around? Well, I got to have a place to move these people to. He said, do you trust me? Yes, sir. Then stop running around. Well, he kept running around. Finally, he backed up one day. He says, all right, Lord, I heard you, just like you heard Charlotte. You heard Holly share. And he says, Lord, that's it. I'm through. I'm not going to look for a place. I'm not going to get a place. I don't care what happens. I'll just stay where I'm at. If you want me to have a place, you're going to have to do it. And not only that, you're going to have to supply the money.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Well, he says, I went on and I didn't look, and I went out my services. One day, I heard this voice that's so familiar as I drove down the road, right out front. It says, go into this theater and claim it. So I managed to get a hold of the person that could let me in. I come in here, went through it, held up my hands, and I claimed it. Well, I don't know how many of you have ever done something like that. You go in and say, Father God, I claim this for your work in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Amen. Now you walk out and the door's locked and that's it. What's happened? You claimed it. Well, what's the next step? Trust. Trust in the Lord. He said, I had to trust in him. He said, they called me one day and he said, well, what do you think about this theater? Well, I'd like to have it. Well, he says, it's nearly $1 million, $850,000. He said, well, he said, I don't have it, but I want the theater. He said, well, he said, you keep working at it. And he said, as soon as you can get the money, you make me an offer. He said, I'm open. So he says, Lord, he says, if you want me to have that theater, you showed it to me. It's your baby. You got to do this. You got to do that. So the attorneys called him one day, like a 2 or 3 months later. He says, when are you going to come down and finish up this theater? He says, well, he says, let's go down and talk about it. So he went down and showed up at the attorneys, and they said, well, why don't you make him an offer? He said, how am I going to make him an offer? He said, well, he says, check your bank account. So he called up the bank, and he had nearly $500,000 in there. So they offered $400,000 for the theater, and would you believe this? It's for sale for $850. The guy took it. He paid him cash, and he owns the theater. Flat out owns a theater. What can God do? When you're faithful to God, you learn to trust Him and reach out to Him, He can do whatever you want Him to do. See, when the Word says you can do all these things, you can if you follow Jesus. He says, everything I've done, you can do. That means you can, limbs can grow out, eyes can be filled in, this, that, and I've seen a lot of this stuff. But it only happens when you're trusting Jesus. When you know that He's the healer and you're the worker, that's all. You're the slave for Jesus. You do what His bidding and God will start honoring it. Sweet Jesus. You have a new life to live with Christ. When he told me this story about the money that came in for his theater, he lifted me up so high Some of you that weren't here last week, when I sat on the platform in there, I almost died. For real. I thought I was dead. Holly told me I was the worst looking mess she's ever seen. She says, your face was gone, you looked empty, you looked like you didn't have anything, like you, you know, and it was the devil trying to kill me. Right there in front of the eyes of everyone that was there. I was hit three times. That third time was worse than the second, and the second was worse than the first. I just knew I was going down. And there was a Jewish lady there. She said when she held up her hands to praise God while John was playing the guitar, she says someone took a hold of her hand. She opened her eyes and she says no one was there, but the hand was. She knew it was Jesus. Instantly she said, I've got to lay this hand. And Jesus held her hand. I've got to lay this hand that Jesus held on someone. Who am I going to do it to? And I'm up there getting my third attack. There it is. Rose. And I'm really down. Holly seen it, she jumped up and started preaching. I couldn't even get up the platform. I thought I was going to fall off the platform. And this Jewish lady come up, put her hand, the hand that God held, on my back, and I felt it. And she restored me through prayer. Right on the spot. She's not here today. Where in the heck is she? I don't know. I don't even know if she's alive. I think she is. She's real. But what I'm telling you is, when she put her hand on me, the hand that Jesus held, I knew it. I felt it. I didn't know that had happened. She told me later this. That's how I can share it with you completely now. And I laid in bed that night, and you better believe I started praising God. And I knew then that the devil walks in fear of this old man for what God's got for me to do. I'm telling you, it's so big, so powerful. I don't know how in the world. If I don't have people around me that have brains and have the ability and talent to take over certain portions of it, I'll never get it done. I've got to have people with me that can say, look, this is this part of the deal. Let me show you how it works. And it's yours. Not out of here. Let them direct it. Let them run it. Don't worry about it. Trust in God, that God will work with them. I've already got some of those people. God has showed them. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that newness of life. You've all been saved. You've all gone through the sinner's prayer. That means you've become righteous. That means you become born again. That means you have a new life. He's telling you, walk in that new life. What is that new life? You got Jesus in you. When Holly was sharing about these different people that she watched me, as God watched me, I didn't do it, thank you, God. The Holy Spirit used me. She couldn't figure out for the life of her because, you know, she didn't see me walking as a holy man. She didn't see me walking around, I don't know how to describe it. She saw me as a flamboyant, outspoken, boisterous, sometimes gruff old man. And she says, what'd you say?
Forthright.
That's all right, kid. And she told me, she says, I don't know how in the world God uses you. Now, boy, she's saying it for this reason. She's looking at herself, and now she's looking at me. She's in prayer 2 or 3 hours every day. Even when she goes to work 8 or 9 hours a day, she walks out of the room, goes in a private room and prays. We pray every morning. We pray together. When she comes in, we pray together. But she's in prayer a lot more than I am. Not much more than I am now for this last year and a half, but prior to that. And she's wondering, well, how can God use this guy? Look what I'm doing. Well, I saw somebody come up here and feel it before, so I decided I wanted to feel it. Yeah. I think you might have put an anointing on there. I wanted to get it off of that. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What was I saying, Holly?
That I was wondering how God was.
Yeah. She wondered, how can God use you? You don't do this, you don't do that, and she's doing this, she's doing that. Now, the next statement may sound like I want to put her down. It's not. I've learned a lesson with Christ, a real powerful lesson, and I'm coming back into that fold now. But he never let me go. I kind of turned away from him, but he never let me go. You see, in the beginning, 33 years ago, when I had my hand burned off and God grew it back, that made a believer out of me. I knew there was a God. More than just a God that created the heaven and earth, I knew there was a Jesus Christ. And I knew there was a Holy Ghost. Just from that thing. When I watched that hand grow back, man, that's all she wrote, man. There's a God. For real. Because nobody could do that. Nobody, anywhere, any place, anytime could do what I saw, and 60 other eight people witnessed it. So I got to reading the Word. Well, I started in Genesis. What else are you going to do? I started in the beginning. Man, that was the toughest reading I ever had in my life. When I got to Judges and Ecclesiastes and some of these, I just, geez, God, do I have to read all this stuff? Well, I finally got through it. I didn't understand anything I was reading, but I read it anyway. Now, here's the way I read it. Merlin Crothers gave me a green sheet that folded up, and it had from the first scripture and the first chapter of Genesis to the Revelation. And every time I read a chapter, I crossed it off. And I went through the Bible. Now, I went through the Bible actually that way four times. When I got to Job in the fourth reading, I said, I'm skipping this chapter. I don't want to mess around with any chapter where God kills your sons and kills you this and do that. Not for me. It turned out to be one of the finest chapters in the Bible. You got to read it all the way to get it through. It was fantastic. But I tell you, I didn't read it the fourth time. Then one day when I'm reading the New Testament, something hit me like a ton of bricks. Bam. Remember when Holly shared with you that a ball of fire hit me? That's a real thing. I've got a whole testimony all typed out about what happened that night. I saw God. Oh, you see God, you're going to die. I saw God. God is what you think, what you say. I didn't die. Okay, how do you see him? I didn't see him like you see him, like you're seeing me. I saw him in a spiritual sense. And my spirit picked up on it. When that fireball hit me and I come out of that, two things happened. I got hit with the fireball, and I was saturated with him completely, totally. And about four nights later, I was dreaming. Now, I don't know if you know what a 357 sounds like. If you held it here and pulled it, it could deafen you. Boom! I mean, it'd shake your whole head up. I can't even make it as loud as a gun. I'm laying in bed. My wife is sound asleep. I'm sound asleep. I'm dreaming. I started dreaming in color. First time it's ever happened to me. And all of a sudden, Jesus seemed to appear in my dream. And it was an explosion. When he hit, it was an explosion was as loud as a 357 going off. And bam! My wife said, "What was that?" It's inside of me, and she heard it.
Wow.
Now listen to me, kids. She heard it. And I sat straight up. Oh, God. Oh, God. I got to reading the scripture. I got to studying the Word of God. When I got into the New Testament, because of that infilling, when I got to the one little line, Paul says, "Now that we have Jesus, let us go on with him." Let me repeat that. Now that we have Jesus, let us go on with him. That was the key. Now, I never understood that until only about two or three months ago, after all these years. But I knew that it was God. So I stayed in the New Testament. I read it over and over and over and over and over and over. Man, I'd go into that in a sanctum. Crazy. I'd go into that inner room. That's the holiest of holies. Why? Because I can go in there now. The curtain was rent at the cross. I didn't know what it meant. I had no idea that I can get in there. Now, boy, I was so turned on, so on fire. I was reading the word day and night. I'd sit up all night long. I read it in. I wouldn't be tired in the morning. I'm telling you, I'd just be going. But I drove my wife the Baptist nuts. She couldn't understand what was going on. I tell you, we could have got divorced. It was serious stuff because she was seeing all these miracles and these things taking place all around me. She didn't understand it. Finally, she got spirit filled. Now she understood it. Until you get spirit filled, you'll never understand some of the stuff I'm sharing. You got to be totally spirit filled so you can receive that these are the powers and the glory and the shining of God. This is powerful stuff. Woo, woo, praise God. So anyway, I'll tell you, about 4 months ago, my pastor, who's Stephen T. Hall, he's going to be here, what, Monday?
Yep.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Monday,
Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he's going to be in here teaching. Boy, I want to tell you something, you don't want to miss it. He'll teach you about healing rooms, about healing, and he's great. And he's my pastor, for real. So one day, we're sitting talking, he says, Edgar, don't you realize why you don't go back in the Old Testament? I said, no. He says, why do you want to go into the Old Testament and read about these people that are trying to get what you've already got? Now think about that. What are you going to gain? Well, you do get knowledge about what's happened to bring the Word of God into focus. So that's all right. But these people back here, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, they wanted what you've already got. And you've got it. It's in you. You got the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Man, you got it. They didn't have the promises of Jesus. You got it. They didn't have the power of God. You got it. So why do you want to wait? Stay here. Follow Jesus. Get your eyes on Him. Woo! Faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Spirituality in Galatians 5:16. This I say to them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how you beat. Man, look at that good-looking broad in that bikini. Well, all of a sudden, lust sets in. But if you're in the Spirit, you do what Merlin Carruthers did, because he was a woman chaser. He was an unbelievable. He was oversexed and everything. Every time he looked around, here he is, a Christian walking around, and the next thing you know, he started begging God, pleading with God. God, I don't want to have these thoughts. I'm telling you, the very next day, he was in Laguna Beach, and these bikini things, I mean, very skimpy bikinis going by. He looked at him. He says, God, you're such a great God. Thank you for eyes to see your creation and your beauty. And we turned around and walked the other way. You see, you got to stay in the Spirit, kids, to fight the things of the world. You can't beat them otherwise. Consistency with Christ, that's me. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Man, I've been called to be an evangelist. I've been offered churches. I've been offered all kinds of things. I've been on television 2 or 3 times. I had my own television. Stay in the walk you're called. I'm an evangelist. That's where I stay. That's why when Holly shares, I never seen anyone win people to Christ so easily. Why? Because I'm staying in the vocation I was called. I don't run around here, run around there. I stay where I'm called. Each of you here in this room right now, you have a calling in your life. There's a certain thing God's got planned for you, and if you'll seek Him with all your heart, with all your soul, but you may have to seek Him on a steady basis. It may not come to you in 1 week or 1 month or even a year. Just keep after Him. The reason the doors are opening for me now is because I've been getting up in the morning at 5 and 6 o'clock for the last year and a half. I've been into the Word of God, reading the Word every morning, praying every morning. Praying for all kinds of people, praying for this church. And now I'm starting to see the result of a year and a half's worth of prayer. It works, but you've got to get in faithfully. There's many people, I know people, they got into prayer, they pray for about a month, well, nothing ever happened, they go back and do whatever they do. Oh, God. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Well, Holly also shared that. When I stood there and looked in Edgar's eyes, I saw something. You want to know something? I didn't know I was doing that. I just know that when I pray for people, it's like when I put my arms around you. Compare this. Let yourself be greeted by other people, not in this place, but someplace else, in some church. And they'll come up to you and they'll put their arms around you. Oh, good to see you. It's like shaking hands. Shake hands with me, Ron. Doesn't that feel good? Now shake hands with me. Doesn't that feel good? Amen. You see what I'm saying is, I laid my hand out there. I didn't take a grip, felt like a dead fish. There was no meaning to it. There's no feeling. When I hugged Phyllis, come in, I hugged her because I'm in love with her. See what some of these pastors say? Well, watch out for the breast. You can't hug them too tight. I'm watching out for the breast. And I hug you real tight. Why? Because I'm sincere. I don't have a dirty mind. See, these guys that tell you that, their mind's in the gutter. In the name of Jesus, walk in the love of Christ. Well, when you start seeking him and looking, letting him know you love him, that love builds up inside of you. You can't help it. It'll show in your eyes. That's what she saw. It's real. I've gone into restaurants many times, not lately, but many times. I tell you, I'll give you one. I went in. How many know what a Bob Evans restaurant is? Okay. And I like those restaurants. Now they got the country kitchen thing or whatever, the chicken basket thing, I don't know what it is. So I go to them. But I used to go to Bob Evans every time I'm out on the road traveling around. I went to a Bob Evans out of Columbus, Ohio. And we walked in and got a non-smoking area, put us in a table, a little deuce. And I'm sitting there facing Charlotte. I almost said Holly. Facing Charlotte. And now they brought the food, it's time to pray. So I took a hold of her hands and I pray out loud. I mean, I just pray out loud. I don't care. What do I care? Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for being with us this day. Thank you for the services we had this week. Bless this food and nourishment of our body of your wondrous glory, and bless everybody in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody in this place heard that. I'm sitting there eating. A couple of people went by and he said, sir, I perceive you're a pastor. I says, well, yes, but why do you say that? Well, I heard you praying. You can pray, you don't have to be a pastor. You see what I'm saying? By the way, you can pray if you're just a little kid. You don't have to be a pastor or a priest or anything. Most of them don't pray anyway. I'm telling you, I've been with them. They sit down and stuff their face and don't pray. I said, aren't you going to pray? Oh, yeah, sure. And then they pray. You catch them in the act of not doing it. But I'm telling you, especially in Tulsa, that's the Bible thing, you know. But now they're not all that way. Don't get me wrong. Just some of them that I was with were like that.
Maybe they're Jewish and they pray after they eat.
Amen. It could be. But, you know, they just, with Thanksgiving, you're supposed to receive everything. See, and I do it. And yes, the Jews do it afterwards. They make sure they get it first and then they thank them. And that's the reason, you know. Okay. You want to have caution. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men.
Amen.
You just don't mock God or make fun. You know, when you're talking about doing the work of God, that's serious business. It's all serious. And Christ-likeness, you know, in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Jesus Christ said, you can do everything I've done. He says, walk as I walk, talk as I talk. You can have my mind. Now think about it. This is 2004. You can have his mind. You can walk as he walked. You can talk as he talked. I do my best to do that. Now, I did that in the beginning like crazy. I mean, you better believe I was having special meetings in my home. People were calling me after the miracle could hold services, and I was going all over here and everywhere and so on. And then I was turned on to Christ. And then a big thing happened to me. I wound up in 700 Club. I wound up on the Praise the Lord, the PTL club with Jimmy Baker, several times. Wound up with Paul Crouch down TBN, with David Maines in Canada. My wife met some of these people. They made great remarks about me, wonderful things. I'm glad they did to my wife. She met Merlin Carruthers, the writer of many books and made his own motion picture. She met these people. She's seen them. Well, I met them, and I seen them. Man, I spoke in the Maybe Center. Woo-hoo! That's the way I got. Look at me. I didn't really say that, but my actions said that. The way I maneuvered said that. You know the thing that happened? The Bible got closed, and I stopped reading. And I was in so much prayer in those beginning years, and I wasn't in prayer anymore. Why should I be? I'm a big shot. Been on every Christian television. I was going to football stadiums like Billy Graham. That's right. Thousands of people were getting saved. Oh, and I hadn't sat down with Jesus for a long time. In the beginning, I was going into that holiest of holies, sitting with Christ, talking with him. Wasn't happening anymore. And I didn't know it. It'll come on you one day when you do that. It's like this is your last chance. Come back. Come back, my son. And the prodigal child came back. But not until after I met Holly. I was lost for almost 15 years. And the ministry that I'm about to have should have happened 15 years ago. It was delayed because of my stupidity. It can happen. There are many ministries today. They're out there running big time. I could name them, but I won't. They walk around like, you know, boy, they're being used here. They're on TV and they're doing all this. And you believe that they're really, really with Jesus. Until you hear from God that they are, until you get on the same level they're on and you're with them, when they're not on stage, when they're not on television, and see what they really are. Kids, in the 33 years I've been there, and when I realized that I was one of them, boy, did I get on my knees and ask forgiveness. I cried out to God. I said, what have I done to you, Lord? How could I possibly have done this? So a year and a half ago, in the scripture, I was asking God what to do. He said, rise up early in the morning. He showed me the scripture. Is it in there, Ron? Rise up early in the morning. Seek me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's why I've been missing the boat. So I got back in. I'm in the saddle again. Back where a friend is a friend. You know, amen. I'm sorry I get off on those things. I can't help it. I shock my wife sometimes. She looks at me. Oh, Jesus, she's gone crazy. Okay, anyway, I got those things to you. Now look, let me tell you some of this stuff. The mighty in its full influence, you got this. Everything I'm going to read, you got everything. You got this. Jesus Christ that is in you has made you a devouring flame. Let me read the scripture. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. I believe in that so strong that when I'm talking to somebody that says, not hardly, I won't give up. Why? Because I get the fire of God in me, and I believe it. So I move with, not with boom, boom. I move with boom, boom. Boom, boom. For those of you that are listening, I'm just holding somebody in my arms instead of punching him in the mouth. He's a crushing hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire? That backs up this other scripture. Saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So that stubbornness that the devil put in people, that they don't know they got, well, they don't want nothing to do with God. My God is a hammer, bam, 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 breaks down those rocks and opens it up. And next thing you know, they're receiving Jesus. Same ones in you. What I say is in me is in you. It's up to you to believe it and activate yourself to use it. Whew, sweet Jesus. Life-giving force. Boy, is he ever. Whew. Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. That's exactly what happened when you get saved and you get the power of God in you. Your bones come together the way they should be, the way God wanted you to be. He created you to be a force with a powerful flesh on your body. And the flesh that you now have is not yours. It's Christ in you. You have him in you. He controls you. That's the whole saving power. You all got this. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Boy, there it goes. You go into a restaurant, and oh, you don't want to talk too loud. Somebody might hear you. Thank God. Thank God. I was going to share a story, but I better not. I don't want to lose this. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My God. And a defensive weapon, Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One day I'm going to start a church. It may not be here though. There's something that's happening that's leading me into this. But I am not going to be the senior pastor of the church. I'm qualified, but I'm not going to do it. I know the man that will be. Okay? And supernaturally, things are coming together right now. And so far, am I speaking the truth, Holly? Absolutely. Standing my stuff. But I'll be the founder and sort of the catalyst and whatever I'm supposed to be. And anyway, it's coming together. And the one thing is sure, when it does, the one thing that I'm going to teach onto this pastor is that when you come to church, you have a Bible in your hand. You carry the sword. And you should be doing it right here. If you don't have one, you let me know. We'll get you one. You should always have that Bible in a house of prayer. Oh, you should have it all the time. Mine's in the car wherever I go. I don't necessarily bring it into restaurants and so on, but sometimes I do. This morning I got up and we're in a hotel up in Port Washington. And I didn't have this Bible, so I got the Gideon Bible out of the drawer. And I went down to the restaurant. A couple of heavy set ladies down there, nice ladies, and they welcomed me and greeted me. I sat down. So I said, I'll take some coffee and an orange juice. I said, now look, when she brought it, I said, I want to tell you something. I talk to myself sometimes and talk out loud. I said, I'm not crazy. So when she came over to ask how I'm doing, the Bible, I'd read it, I'd gone through the scriptures, I closed it and set it aside to just meditate and pray. And of course, you see, it says Holy Bible on the front. Everything about her changed. She saw me in prayer. She could tell I was meditating. She knew it. She watched me speak with my mouth. When I speak, sometimes I go like this in my hands. I don't know what I'm saying. It's Holy Spirit time. I don't have to interpret. There's nobody else around. She saw that. Man, she treated me like I was her best friend. Can I help you? Can I get you something? Can I do this? Can I do that? Make sure my coffee pot stayed full. You know, all this kind of stuff. It's amazing how people get affected by that stuff. It's just dynamite stuff. Whew. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You're a probing instrument. See, what is a probe? What does a doctor do when he opens you up? He probes down inside of you, moves things out to find that poison, that bad stuff that's in there, so he can cut it out. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't realize I'm doing that. But you do that. If you're going to lead somebody to Christ, that's what you're doing. You're opening them up, and your spirit is looking for that thing that has blocked them, and then the Holy Spirit is giving you the words to say, you don't know that, but it is. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you, and those words, because remember, every single person born on this earth has faith in them the size of a mustard seed. God put it in there. Many of them don't ever get near it. But and when the Spirit of God is speaking, that little thing comes alive and starts receiving, and you don't know it right away. So you keep on, and you cut away, and you do this, and you do that. Next thing you know, tears are coming down. I say, how can I know the Lord? But 10 minutes ago, she's not hardly. But you see, you've got to be persistent. You've got to, if you're doing God's work, let's do God's work. Let's really do God's work. Let's know that you're a servant of God. Don't put this baloney out, you know. Oh, I believe in God. I go to church. Sure. Well, that's great. When you want to know something, so do the demons. So does Satan. He's going to church looking and trying to find all the weak ones. And if you're not sold on this scripture, if you're not sold on God, you think he doesn't know you? He knows you like God knows you. And he's coming after you. He doesn't want you walking with Jesus. He doesn't want you to stay saved. Sweet Jesus. That's a good word. Man, that's a good word. Hiya basada basada kishiyamo. Whew. Let me see some. I got some stuff in here God gave me. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with their whole heart. I said, Lord God, I cannot thank you enough for sending me an encouraging word when Tom Simmons called me. I said, I'd sure like to get your word somehow. Now, you know, even though I've read through the Bible, I can't open up the Bible, find some scripture that I want to find. I don't know where to go in the Bible. I had a tough time remembering John 3:16. And Kerry, he made the biggest mistake. He didn't know John 16, 3:16 from apples. He said John 16:3. You ought to read that sometime. That's one of the things that slew him right there. God says, no man that'll make that statement is going to be with me. I'll tell you right now. This nation was founded under God. You ought to look up John 16:3. But Kerry said, that's my scripture. It sure is. So the Lord put me into Isaiah. See, that's how God puts me back in the Old Testament. There are things in there that you can use. But if you want to learn how to get ahead, you want to learn to move into power, stay in the New Testament. Stay with Jesus. But he'll direct you in some scriptures back there to encourage you, to help you. It's there. And John, I'm speaking Isaiah 41. I'm in verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to read it to you. It's like Christ is speaking to me himself. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they who are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and you shall not find them. And them that contend with thee, they that war against thee, thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And the Lord thy God help, what's her name, that Jewish lady?
Leba.
Leba's hand, and she took that hand and laid it on me. The same thing. I tell you something, kids. God furnished all the money for that theater. That quick. God bless that pastor. That quick. He's about to bless me.
That quick.
With a powerful ministry. When the television comes, maybe you'll see me. Because I'm not going to be on the television. I'm backing away and let the ones that God showed me to be on television. Because God doesn't want a single man up there being the star. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the star. But they stand up there and they say, oh, Jesus Christ is in. Well, get out of the way if he's in you. How do you do that? By lifting up the little guy. How do you prove Christ is in you? By going out and helping the little guy. When we called all these pastors together from churches of under 200 in their congregation, we're doing something that no other television host has done. Why did they wouldn't do that for them? Why? There's no purpose in it. They can't make money from them. They can't use them for gain. But these are the war. These are the armies of God. There's 10,000, 20,000 pastors out there, maybe 50,000, with small churches under 200, 60 people, 80 people. The only people that even know they're alive besides God is a little group that go there. Yeah. If I went up to, I won't mention any names, but somebody that's a big host on television, say, have you heard of John Podunk over in so-and-so? No. Jesus, have you heard of John Podunk? Yes, he's a good soldier. See, that's what I get from Jesus. He knows him. That's why this vision is coming together, because God wants to bless all those that have been faithful, staying in the front lines. See, I've sat with these pastors. As God is my witness, I've sat with them right there at the table in their own home, and they get to stare, and I say, what's up, Pastor? He'd say, sometimes I wonder if God even knows I'm alive. See, these men have feelings. They have all kinds of things inside, and they're hurting. They need somebody to love them, to care and show them that God really loves them, really cares about them. So through the vision, we have the ability to put them on television four times in a year. And they've never been on once in their entire ministry. Whew. We love you, Lord. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that the teaching tonight affects the hearts of these children you've brought here. I pray, God, you touch them in a very special way, that they know you love them, that they know they have a ministry, that they know the promises that you made are for them, that they know that you walk with them, that they know that you really care about them, that they know that you're watching them, whether they sleep or are awake, that they know that you're waiting to hear them pray, to seek you with all their heart and soul. Oh, Father God, touch them and move them closer to you. Boy, there's some of you in here, Father God, listen, there's some of them in here right now that you're about to open doors to bless them. Let it be done, Lord. But let them know that you've done it. Meet every need in this place tonight, physically, spiritually, and financially, Lord. And God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God is so good. You know, I put out a call some months back, I said, you know, I'm going to need help because I really can't afford to fly back and forth to Orlando, Florida, to meet with these people and do what I have to do. So I said, speak to the Lord and see if God will speak to your heart. Maybe you can donate $50 or $100 a month for me. And those of you who will do that, I ask God to bless you real special. I know some of you can't do that. That's all right. Well, quite a few people have done it. I think about, 18. I thought I needed about 1,000. No. And I've been building these funds up that have been coming in every month. I says, well, God, I says, the ball's in your court. He said, it sure is. Then I find out I don't have to go to Orlando. I go to Nashville. Orlando's $400 a trip. Nashville's $120. You see what I'm saying? So everything's set up in Nashville. Holly and I are going to Nashville on the 26th. We'll be there 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th to meet all the people. Now here's the something that you don't know. If you know who Ron Canole is, raise up your hand. See, only a handful know. Ron Canole is one of the most outstanding black Christian spiritual singers you ever heard, and he can sing. They had him over here in Willow Creek. 7,000 people went nuts as he sang and blessed them all. Walking up and down the aisle, scared the daylights out of Bill. Well, you know, he's got an X down there. He says, this is where you stand when you minister or you sing. Well, Ron, don't do that. He gets the microphone, he starts up and down the aisles with thousands of people. People are getting blessed, but the people that run the church are having a fit. He walked off the spot. He's not standing there. What are we going to do? Let him sing.
Yeah.
But they really did get upset. I'm telling you the truth. But Ryan Canole has spoken. He's actually sang for the Queen of England. He sang for great kings around this world. He sang for the president. He's a powerful, powerful hunk of man for Jesus. He met with Chuck Weber, who's the CEO of Emacs Corporation, night before last. And Roxana called me and Chuck called me on the phone yesterday before we left. They said, Edgar! I said, yeah, Chuck. He says, hey, Edgar, guess who I had dinner with last night? I said, who? He says, Ron Canole. We sat and talked about you all night. I says, pray tell, what did he say? He says, as soon as that television started, you tell Brother Bailey that I'm going to back him with my singers and my television and whatever I've got. Yes. True story. Okay. He doesn't even know me. Now, how does that happen? It's what I've been sharing with you. It's the Spirit that flows through you. I want you all to have that Spirit. I want you to understand that it's a spiritual war. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You must believe that. You must understand what the Scripture is saying when it tells you that. Even though you leave here, walk out here, get in the car, and go home, you can do it. But you yourself, in here, you don't belong here. You're just here, and you're going to be out of here pretty soon. A lot sooner than you think. When the Lord returns and puts his foot on this earth, all the Scripture is going to be fulfilled. In a twinkling of the eye, you shall be changed. You shall know him, and you shall see him, and you shall be like him. Now stop and think about this. What was he like? I'll give you one slight little clue. When the apostles were in the upper room after the cross, and they're in fear, the soldiers are going to come and get us, they're going to kill. Well, eventually they did kill him, except for John. But my point is this, they were in fear. And the door was latched. And the walls were solid, and Jesus stood before them. Now, how in the world did he get in there? Okay, well, he was in the Spirit. Okay, but they seen him, right? Now, what's the next clue? Thomas, Lord, Lord, he fell down. He says, Thomas, put your fingers in the holes in my hand. Does that tell you that you can touch him? Does that tell you you can feel him and see him at the same time? Yet he walked through this, which is made by man. And you, in a twinkling of eye, shall know him, shall see him, and shall be like him. What are you hanging around here on this earth for? Let's get with the Lord. I want to be like that. But the scripture also said, as much as I want to be with Christ, Paul said, I still have to be here to can do a work. And that's the same way with me. And with all of you, I get back now to the other teaching. You all have a ministry. There are certain people that you're going to touch. Certain people that I can't reach. Ron can't reach. You can't reach. Rodney can't reach. Eric can't reach. Phyllis can't reach. I can't reach him, but you can reach him. You can reach him. We have a job to do to reach out. That's why missionaries go to those foreign headhunting countries, and their lives are taken from them. Amen. Because they want to get down there, but eventually the tribes get saved. The tribes get saved. And how do they get saved? God performs a miracle in front of them through the missionary. Now they think the missionary is God. Then he makes it very clear, no, there's only one God. Shows them a picture of Jesus, shows them what he does, and they all believe it. We have one missionary that came across a new language that's never been heard before. Inside of 2 years, he was speaking fluently their language, and he had half of them speaking English. Absolutely true story. You see, persistence is what counts. You've got to have the boldness of Christ, the persistence of God, and you've got to have the faith of God, and you've got to believe that you're called of God. So, the people blessed us, and we're going to start our trips. These things coming together. We already was told that we're ready to go on television and we'll be able to reach 25 million people. Wow, right off the bat. It's already set up. I'm just telling you what they told me, but they had it set up. Eric Matisa owns 89 stations ready to put us on. He's buying a total of 150, which will cover the entire United States. Wow. Right now they're cable, but there's so many things happening in the electronic field that I can't even begin to tell you what some of them are. But they're so supernatural that he has a board like so, and he has all these stations are on there. He's got room for, like I say, up to 150. Now, for instance, if he wanted to put my broadcast and say in Des Moines, Iowa, all he does is, ready? He hits a button, boom. There's nobody there. It's a television station. And what I'm doing over here is seen in Des Moines, Iowa. That quick. Live. You can't do all live programs. Oh, yes, I can. You do live programs so that you don't take the time to phony them up. When you do a program and you don't think it's right, they stop and redo it. When I do a program, it better be the Holy Spirit, I'm in trouble. You see what I'm trying to tell you, kids? I'm no better than anybody. I'm no better than anyone in this room. But I know I walk close to Jesus, and I know I trust him with all my heart and soul. I want you to... Paul says, do what I tell you to do. Paul calls that his scripture. He believed so strongly in God and that he had so much of Jesus in him, he refers to the scripture as his. We have that right. We have that authority. This word that's from God goes through a human being and becomes part of him. Goes through a woman, becomes part of you. When Holly's up there and does her thing, you ever notice she has her eyes closed?
Yeah.
You ever notice that? Okay, you look at all the other women preachers, their eyes are wide open doing whatever they're doing. I'm not putting anyone down. They have a great script in front of them. They have all these, they keep taking notes, looking at notes, then they get, and they're pretty good. Holly doesn't have any notes. except the keynotes on that thing. What she has is the Holy Ghost. She relies on it. You can always tell when she runs out of something to do. She prays in tongues. She really does, I'm telling you. Pat Boone was doing television with Demas Shakarian a long time ago. And he was at Demas, and he says, Demas says, "Why don't you sing that song that you sang to me?" Pat says, "Okay." So he sang it. There was no music. See, it was unrehearsed. He just sang it a cappella. So he sang the song, and he got all befuddled. He kept singing. He kept shaking his head and singing. Finally got stopped. And Demas said, did you forget your way? He says, "Something was going on. I don't know what was going on." You would not believe the calls that came in on the telephone. People receiving Christ. People getting saved all over the nation. As he sung in tongues. When Holly gets up there and she's singing in tongues, I finally had to tell her. Many times I've been back here, I fall on my knees. Something she's doing in tongues is affecting me. I have no control over it. But you see, you have to be open to receive that. It's like if you get into prayer in the morning or some morning, you pray for an hour. When you're through, don't just throw the Bible down and get up and walk away. Sit there a while. Close up the Bible. Just put your head back and wait on the Lord for just a little while. Give Him a chance to minister to you. I'm telling you something. I wish you could just sit with me for a day, especially like on a day that Holly's home with me. Like, for instance, Sunday. I let her sleep in. She sleeps in quite late. I don't care. She needs it. When she gets up, she'll mess around a little bit. I'll watch football. She'll go out in the patio. If you snuck in the side and peeked back at her and just sat there and didn't let her see you, she would see her sitting out there looking off at the trees, not even moving, just staring. Sometimes she'll close her eyes and tip her head back. She's in solid meditation. She's waiting on the Lord. And that's why she can do what she does. Tomorrow night, if you'd like to learn some stuff, really get into something, you come to her special teachings down there in Elgin, which is at the international teams on the frontage road between 31 and 90, right by the Judson College. 6 o'clock the services start. Be there. Several people in here will be there. You all should be there. This woman can teach you the Word of God. It'll shake you up. I'll put her up against Joyce Myers or Betty, whatever her name is. I don't care who they are. I'm around. I live with this woman. I know what she knows. I don't know what she knows. I hear what she knows. She is a spirit-filled power of God. She wants to help release those gifts in you. She has a way of teaching, releasing the gifts of the Spirit. It'll bless your hearts. Okay, it's time. Every eye closed for a moment. Father God, it's time to receive a love offering and a gift for your work. Lord, as the people sit here, speak to their hearts. We know there's some here that can't give. We know there's some here that can give. Whatever it is, Father, speak to their hearts and let them know what to give into this ministry. And bless them, the giver, and bless the gift. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor for each of them. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you make a check out for this ministry, just make it out to EBM. It says Edgar Bailey Ministries, Inc. We're a non-for-profit 501c3 organization. You will get a receipt for your money. And God bless you for giving. All the money that you give does not go to a salary for me. Believe me, it don't. I live on what Holly makes. I spend her money. In the name of Jesus. For those of you that are listening to the tape, if you'd like to get a hold of me, my phone number is 630-540-2403. If you'd like to correspond with me, sweet Jesus, look up cityrevival.com. Citywiderevival.com. www.citywiderevival.com. And you can get my address, find out what we're doing, and God bless you as you go, in Jesus' name.